Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Let's dive into it.
In general, no prepares you for postpartum.
Me had adopted before.
Have a place for moms to speak openly and offer support.
Exactly a year to the month of that phone
we
call,
just really don't understand how beautiful you really are.
I'm really confident that this is a topic that
miscarriage and infant loss awareness. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother. After all, it's so funny. But
you are listening to Motherhood Unfiltered, where a community of moms are trying to bring balance to motherhood. We hope you laugh with us, cry with us, and enjoy each episode as we walk through this motherhood journey together.
We are back! Season 2 of Motherhood Unfiltered podcast, and I am so excited. So I am holding my two-month-old in my arms. He's actually wrapped. So if you hear snorting or heavy breathing, I really apologize. He's kind of a loud little one. But anyway, we are going to be covering so many things in this episode. So it might be a little lengthier than our normal ones, but I promise I will try to keep it short. We're going to go over what are the plans for season two. Where in the world has Motherhood Unfiltered been? And then I'm going to wrap it up by sharing my birth story with you all, because who doesn't love a good birth story? So anyway, okay, let's start. Where have we been? So we actually started this podcast in 2020, and I think the team and I underestimated how much time we had. I don't think we realized how much time we had. So then 2020 started to wrap up. 2021 was starting. We all kind of got busy in our everyday lives, and we were going to relaunch season two in January. And then in October of 2020, I found out that I was pregnant with our second little one, and the morning sickness was real. It was so bad. And then in December of 2020, my husband and I unfortunately got COVID while I was pregnant, yes. And luckily, it did not hit me as bad as it hit my husband. But the recovery for me actually took a longer time. We didn't know if it was because of the pregnancy or because of COVID. I was actually having a really hard time breathing, catching my breath. I would walk into the grocery store from my car and be just out of breath. And so the recovery was just hard. We all kind of had things going on in our lives individually. And so we just decided to take another break. And I kicked myself over and over and over about taking a break. We've already taken a break before. We're going to take a break again. If I come back, are people going to think we're going to take another break? And then it kind of just hit me, this is Motherhood Unfiltered. Everything about this should be unfiltered. And the reality is, we're moms. We have crazy lives. We have busy lives. And so who cares if we take a break here and there, And it really took a lot of pressure off, considering restarting the podcast, doing season two. For the amount of followers we have, people are listening. And so that's important. Even if one person listens, for me, that's important, because we're here for each other. We're a community, and I want to build that. And sometimes we get busy, and sometimes life just happens. And so, yes, we took another break. Yes, we're coming back. Can I guarantee that we're not going to take another break at some point? No, I really can't. But we're here, and we're doing this, and we're launching season two. So season two is all about your questions that you have submitted. You submitted them in 2020. So you submitted them. We're answering them. You might hear some older Motherhood Unfiltered collaborators. It may just be me just sitting here talking to you like I am right now. We're just in for a really great season. And so I'm really excited about it and really happy, and it's going to be good. We're going to be experiencing. See, there he goes. You probably can hear his breathing this entire time. Again, I really apologize. But we're experimenting with new things like Instagram Reels and creating some fun content. So if you aren't following us, make sure you're following us at _ Motherhood Unfiltered on Instagram. So that's that. That's season two. That's where we've been. Now let's hop into a good old birth story. So on my personal page, in my personal life, I've had so many people ask me about my little one's birth story. And one day I sat down to write a post, but there were so many things like I experienced this time around that I felt like I couldn't relay through a post. And there were so many things that I wanted people to be aware of that nobody told me about that I felt like I couldn't relay through a post. So I'm going to tell you guys my birth story. And then I hope that it helps. If you're expecting, though, I just never listened to birth stories about a month before I was about to give birth, because it's like I do not want to hear anything, whether it be good or bad, just because it made me scared. Like, what if my birth experience isn't like that? Or what if it is like that? You know, so definitely don't recommend if it's your first time. If it's your second time, listen away. You've already been through it once, you know, but anyway, not that my birth story is bad. It's just everyone has different experiences. Everyone's body is different. Everyone's baby is different. So let's kind of jump into it. I think that was all I wanted to say. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. Every hospital is also different. Every doctor is different. So just because my hospital offered me certain things or my doctor offered me certain things doesn't mean that's across the board. So I wanted to preface it with that as well. I was due July 29th. Actually, my mother-in-law and my stepfather-in-law's anniversary. So we were really excited about it. And I live in Central California and it is hot, but I think I have decided. A lot of people ask me this. I did have a newborn in summer with my firstborn. My secondborn, I was pregnant in summer. I definitely think I'd rather be pregnant during summer, oddly, because I don't know, something about like a newborn, especially my boys, like they both generate so much heat. And so it's hot all the time. So like having a hot body on you rather than just in your stomach, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed being pregnant more in the summer. Complete side note that nobody asked for. July 20th, I had an appointment with my OBG. She said everything was looking good. I did opt for a membrane sweep. Then I just went home. I walked 2 times a day. July 23rd at 10 o'clock in the morning, my contractions started. And they were 30 minutes apart, but consistently 30 minutes apart until about 3 p.m. So at 3 p.m., they moved from 30 minutes apart to about 15 minutes apart. And that was pretty consistent until about 5. So I wrapped up work. I work from home. Sat in bed all day working. I wrapped up work. And at about 5 o'clock, my contractions started being 5 minutes apart. And so I told Brandon, which if you haven't heard my birth story with my firstborn, I had no food inside of me. And I really feel like that's why I pushed so long, because I had no energy. And the hospital would not let me eat. I started contracting pretty regularly for 5 minutes apart. And I told Brandon, my husband, I said, go get me food. Like, I need food. I'm gonna eat. I don't care. So he went and got me Chipotle. And he comes home. I call my cousin's fiance, who will be my cousin's wife by the time that this podcast launches. I called her to come over and watch our oldest son, who is 3. And after about an hour of 5 minute apart contractions, I called it. We went to the hospital, grabbed our bags. Well, my grandma, this was the 22nd at 6 p.m. My grandma kept making this comment about, because my whole family did this like bet thing, where like everyone put money in a pot and then they, when is Brianna going to be due? My grandma kept saying, oh, it's a full moon. It's a full moon. Well, she's just being silly. Like, we were all just being silly about it. We get to the hospital, and for Kaiser, they put you in a triage room. I don't know if it's like this everywhere, but for Kaiser, they put you in a triage room. So I was in the triage room. They check me. I was at a 5, and my husband's probably going to correct me, but I believe I was at a 5 and an 85% or 90. And so I didn't know what that meant. They just told, not like I knew what that meant, but I didn't know what that meant as far as admitting me. My water had not broken yet. And my contractions were still bearable at this point. The nurse had checked me. She's like, let me get the doctor, blah, blah, blah. So the doctor comes in. She's like, okay, so we're going to admit you. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because I'm not kidding you. This pregnancy was a lot harder on my body physically. And so I was ready. Like, I was more than ready. She's like, we're going to go ahead and admit you. You know, yada, yada. But we don't have any beds. So, like, they were all out of beds. They were waiting for women to be done with labor and delivery to go to postpartum. And it was crazy. And so by this point, it was like 7:30. And she's like, we probably can admit you around 8. So do you want to walk the hallways? And I'm like, sure, why not? Like, why not walk the hallways rather than lay in the bed? There was it too. There was a lady, because the triage room has like 4 beds in it. So there was a lady also in there who had had a kidney stone. And poor lady. My heart went out to her. She was in so much pain, and you can tell. And I also had, side note, I also had experienced a kidney stone with this pregnancy, which I had never experienced before. So I knew, like, I was sympathizing with her. Well, her, whoever was with her, whether it be a partner or a family friend or whatever, was like trying to crack jokes to her the entire time. And you could tell she was not having it. And I was like, I can't sit here and listen to this. Because when you're in pain, like, depending on your personality type, you do not want to hear a joke. You don't want to hear somebody like trying to be funny. And so I am one, like, that is me. I am one of those that, like, when I'm in pain, I don't want to hear a joke. Like, I just, like, I want to, you know, I want to chill. I want silence. So I was like, yep, I'm going to walk the halls. So, cool thing I learned about this whole labor experience. Walking during your contractions or while you're having contractions was so helpful to me. I felt like it took my mind off of it. I was also so excited. I did not enjoy, I don't feel, my first delivery process because I didn't know what to expect. I was so scared. There's so many scary feelings that run through your head, and emotions, and like, it's just a lot. And like I said, I was completely dehydrated. I had nothing. I couldn't keep anything down. Nothing. It was so bad. And so this one, I think I was just so much more excited. Like, I knew for the most part what to expect. So we were walking around the hallway. My husband and I, it was like a square. We were just walking and talking and honestly just talking about how excited we were and like, oh, I can't wait to meet him. And just thinking about it makes me get so emotional because, like, we really were just, this is our second rodeo. Like, I just cannot wait. So we walked for about half an hour, and again, so totally recommend it, especially if you're not getting that epidural. Like, walk and walk and walk until they don't let you walk anymore or until you can't walk anymore, because it took my mind off of it so much, like off of the pain of the contractions. So about 8 o'clock, I go back in the room. The kidney stone person had went to go get like an ultrasound to look at her kidney stone. So they weren't in there. So it was just us in the room. And so it was more quiet. And about 8:30, I get admitted. And when my husband and I were walking, because after my firstborn, mind you, I actually don't have bad contractions. They are unbearable for me. I do have a high pain tolerance. But to me, my contractions just felt like a really bad period cramp. And I had the same contractions with my second that I did with my first. So basically, I remember with my second getting pregnant, like, if my contractions are the same, I'm not getting the epidural. And I went in, and the more I was getting excited and really enjoying my experience, I went back on my word. I was just like, I'm going to get the epidural because I'm really enjoying this. And like, I'm having so much fun and I want to keep having fun. And so as soon as I get admitted, my nurse is like getting me all ready, you know, asking a bunch of questions, everything that they do to get you admitted. And she was like, do you plan on getting the epidural? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, I'm going to put the request in right now because it is so crazy busy. Which, by the way, all night, I brought up the full moon thing because all night we kept making comments and joking about the full moon thing because apparently it was chaotic in the hospital. We would never would have known, but it, you know, it was. I did have a lot of people when asking about my birth story, I'm going to like kind of segue for a sec, ask what it was like with COVID restrictions. So mind you, the Delta variant was not like it's at the time of this recording, like it's hit its peak. It wasn't there yet when I was giving birth. And so we were allowed, once we got into our room, like we had to wear masks inside and in the triage room. But once we got into our room, we were actually allowed to remove masks. And so I did not have to push with a mask on. They were allowing two people in the delivery room, but I just had Brandon, my husband. And if we ever left the room, we had to put our masks on. So to answer all of those questions, that was my experience. I do know rules have changed since then. So as far as like visitors and such, we were allowed, like I said, two people in the room at all times, but we couldn't switch off. So like if my mom was the second person, it always had to be my mom. Like it couldn't be my mom, then my dad, then my mother-in-law, you know, it had to always be the same two people. Again, I do know roles have changed since then. Yeah, so that's all the COVID questions, you know.
Hello.
If you do have any more questions, you know, feel free to ask, reach out to us on Instagram. Again, I have no problem getting back to you and all of that. So anyway, so that's that. I believe it's an anesthesiologist. If it's not, I'm sorry. But basically the person who administers the epidural comes in and sit down, arch your back. And luckily I was so grateful Brandon was able to be there with me with my firstborn. They didn't allow anyone in the room. So Brandon was able to be there this time. And the lady was really nice that was administering the epidural. My nurse was really nice. But she could not find a space, which is what they need to find in my spine to administer the epidural. So if you've never gotten an epidural before, you feel a small poke, which is the numbing stuff. I'm sure there is a technical term. I know there's a technical term. I'm blanking. And then you feel pressure, which is the needle, I believe, going in and all of that. Well, she couldn't find a space. So every time she had to go to a different area of my spine, she had to re-poke me. Luckily, again, I have a high pain tolerance. Luckily, it wasn't that bad. I actually would rather get shots all day long than ever have to go to the dentist again. So, like, it was fine. But then she was putting in the needle, and instantly my leg jerked. It was like a reflex. And I mean, I could be dramatic when it comes to like telling stories or being funny, but when it comes to levels of pain for me, it's really hard for me to admit when something is hurting. So if I say I did not jerk my leg, like I did not jerk my leg, my leg literally reflexed and kicked up. And she was instantly like, what's wrong? What hurts? What do you feel? And I was like, I didn't do that. My leg just did that on its own. It was a reflex. So then she went somewhere else and I started feeling this like a nerve pain in my lower back. And I was like, ow, 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 ow. She was like, what's wrong? I'm like, I just feel like you're hitting a nerve. Like it hurts. And so then never in my life have I ever had a panic attack. I had a mini panic attack. I was scared, you know, all of these thoughts start coming into your head. What if I'm paralyzed? What if they hit the wrong nerve and I can never walk again? And you just start becoming overwhelmed with all of these. And I remember just sobbing into the nurse's arms, literally. My poor husband couldn't even do anything. And so I just prayed. I just kept praying and praying and praying the whole time. Every time I would start to feel overwhelmed. It took about half an hour for them to get the epidural in, maybe a little longer. But literally, like, in those moments, God was my comfort, because I don't know how I would have survived if he wasn't in the room, you know, if I didn't feel his peace. So they finally got it in, like, right at the last minute, right when I was about to say, can we just not, I'll just go without it. So yeah, so that happened. That was like the first kind of crazy part. Get my epidural in, and I remember feeling really excited because, like, I had control over my legs, which I didn't with my firstborn. The nurses switched, and I meet my new nurse. She's amazing. We're kind of like just, she's going in and out. I'm resting. Brandon's resting, because at this point, it's like midnight-ish. It was late, and we're old people, so we're very tired. And so I just remember at one point she turned me on my side and she was going to, they have these things called peanuts, and they're just like a, like kind of like an exercise ball, but they're shaped kind of like a peanut. And so the way that they place it, I'm trying not to be too much because some people that listen may be like, that's TMI. They kind of place it in between your legs and it's supposed to help open up your cervix, I believe. So she's like, I'm going to do that for you so we can hopefully get this going. So she turns me on my side, places it between my legs, and I feel this pop, kind of like a balloon, like snapping. And so I'm like, I'm not sure, but I kind of think my water broke. She's like, oh, honey, you would know if your water broke. And so I was like, okay. And so she walked around the other side of my bed and was adjusting the peanut, and she lifts up the covers and she's like, oh, your water did break. And I'm like, oh yeah, I thought so. And so she said, okay, well, let me check you. So she takes the peanut. It's so weird calling it that, but yeah, it's a peanut. That's what it's called. She takes it. She checks me, and literally, I don't know if my bag just punctured, like there's like just a puncture. But as she was checking me, it sounded like somebody dumped a bucket of water in the room. And so she was like, oh, hold on, hold on. So she actually, apparently I progressed so quickly, she had to assist my son in being let down because they were worried that the umbilical cord was going to wrap around his neck because it progressed so fast. And so she's like, wow, okay, yeah, you're like a 9 and 100 or something like that. Basically, I was very, very close. So she's like, let me do A, B, and C, and then I'm going to come back and check you, and you should be ready to go. Well, oh, she had to go on her break. That's what it was. She had to go on her break. She was going to go on her break, come back. So she goes on her break, and while she's on her break, I remember my body feeling very shaky. And apparently that happens when you progress too quickly. Like, your body goes into shock. And so I was given some medication for that. They were able to get me to calm down. And again, mind you, every time, I'm a Christian, I'm a firm believer in prayer, and so I really just want to put a plug, I feel to say this, that literally every second I felt stressed, worried, panicky, I prayed, because God is literally my comfort in everything that I do, and this was no different. And so I just prayed. Like, I remember just praying, and I'm not kidding. The instant I started praying, my body stopped shaking slowly. Like, it started to stop shaking. So she comes back from her break. She gets in there. It's about 1 o'clock, I think. I'm really bad with times and numbers in general. So, but it's about 1 o'clock or two, maybe 1:30. Anyway, long story short, I only pushed for 15 minutes with her, and then because I was a low-risk pregnancy or birth, pregnancy and delivery, they brought in the name is completely blanking, but I want to say it was kind of like a midwife. They basically can assist in giving birth and do everything that a doctor can. Not 100% sure. It's escaping me. But anyway, so they brought her in, 15 minutes. Literally, I started pushing and had my baby in 30 minutes. 30 minutes total of pushing, where my firstborn, it was 2 hours. So that whole process was so amazing. This is so great. Like, I had him so, so much faster. I gave birth to an incredibly healthy baby boy. He was 9 pounds, and 8 ounces a week early. So that was kind of crazy. Like I think maybe my due date got mixed up or something, because 9 pounds, 8 ounces a week early. It was crazy. Anyway, he was healthy. Everything was fine. They turn off my epidural and I start instantly feeling like stress in my neck and I get a headache. And so I just thought, man, I must have pushed so hard that I like strained my neck or I pulled something. And because I couldn't feel anything, my brain wasn't registering, hey, stop. And so I just ignored it. Well, come to find out what I had, and this is like something I never even knew was a thing. Apparently, there is a very small chance when you get an epidural of having a spinal leak. And so what that is the fluid starts leaking in your spine and it causes debilitating headaches. Now, mind you, I don't get headaches. So this was, I literally could only lay down. That's the only way that it would relieve my headache. Sitting up to eat, sitting up to do anything was so painful. And so I ignored it. One of the anesthesiologists came in the next day. They're like, well, we know it's not a spinal leak because you wouldn't be able to sit up the way that you're sitting up right now. But again, like I also have a high pain tolerance and I can be very stubborn and not admit when something is causing me more pain than it is. So long story short, we had to stay in the hospital a little longer than expected because when you have, sorry, snorting. When you have babies that are large, like my children, sorry, he's snoring in his sleep, they have to pass a glucose test. So our little one was not passing. He had to be admitted to the nursery. So that was a little scary, but we had to stay in the hospital for a long time. But finally, our day that we were going home, I realized I cannot live with these headaches. I looked it up online, said it could last 10 days. I had only gone like 2 or 3 and it was hard. It was hard to get up, to stand up. It's like I'm going home to a 3-year-old who doesn't understand why mommy and daddy were just gone for a couple days. And a newborn, like, I can't be like this. They performed a procedure where they basically go back into your spine and they draw blood from your arm or your hand or I think mine was my hand. And they reinsert it back into your spine. It clogs that leak. So then it relieves the headaches. And literally instantly when they put the blood into my spine, I felt relief. And so it was really crazy. But in general, like my recovery other than that was pretty easy. I felt like it was a lot easier than before, but I think it's because I just knew what to expect, where before I had no idea. And so I was able to take it a lot easier and all of that. And so, yeah, that is how my little baby was born into this world. And yeah, so that's kind of it. And I don't really know how to wrap this up, but I guess the key takeaways for this one was I have a type A personality. Everything in my life is planned thanks to God and my lovely husband. I have learned that it's not always a blessing. And so I have learned to like let go of certain things and not have my life so planned, because sometimes having it too planned actually drives me crazy because it's like I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, with this one, I walked in with no expectations. I just wanted a healthy baby. I just wanted to be healthy afterwards. And so if I could give any advice for any moms going into their pregnancy, whether it be your first or your second or your fifth or whatever number it is, just go in there and expect to come out with a healthy baby and for you to be healthy too, because it relieves so much pressure from you and from everyone around you. And I can't even explain like the excitement that I had going into this one, where the first one I went into it with fear. And if you are fearful and if you are scared, that's so natural and so normal. But as cliche as it sounds, just pray about it. Just give it to God. He will literally touch and heal every emotion, and He acknowledges it. He meets you there. Anyway, I just wanted to encourage you all. I hope you enjoyed my birth story. I hope you're as excited as I am with the launch of Motherhood Unfiltered coming up, season two. So my baby is like waking up, so he's getting all snorty. But anyway, I hope you all have a fantastic day, that you are the best mothers that you can be today, even if that means going a little crazy. And I will talk to you next time.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram at _motherhoodunfiltered. We really hope you enjoyed today's episode and would love for you to leave us a review and tell us what you think. Again, thank you for joining us.